Well, you know, one of the most controversial opinions I've ever shared on this podcast got quite a little bit of hate. And I'm not quite ready to say I'm loving them, but I'm ready to at least say I'm warming up to and maybe even liking. And that's, of course, the one and only Terminator models. I've been building a bunch of cataphracti, and they're way better than the Indominus pattern, that's for sure. But, you know, I figured the wider Warhammer community might be willing to accept that I'm warming up to them.
I mean,
aggressors are still cooler, but you know,
I mean, that's just wrong. It's flat out wrong. You know, like, I'm glad that you're warming up. Cataphracti are really, really cool. The new ones are a little small though. They kind of got like a narrow wasp waist, which
that's what everyone said. And having built them, I think they're fine. They're definitely like slimmer than the old ones.
Yeah.
But it's just like the proportions are a little bit more made. But yes. I'm trying to figure out a way to segue this. Olivia being here.
Beautiful
segue. Yeah, it was a terrible segue.
Vox Cascadia podcast.
Joined by the wonderful Olivia. Olivia, thank you so much for coming on to the show and dealing with our professionalism, as the best way we can put it. Yeah.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Yeah. Well, Connor was mentioning love as his love for the cataphractic Terminators. It is, we are a few days away from Valentine's Day, the day of love. But while love may be in the air for Connor and his plastic, there's some hate in the air too, because we're going to talk about Murderwing and why people hate them. But first, Olivia, thank you again for joining us. Let's learn a little bit about you. So talk to us, tell us about yourself and how you found your way to be on a Tuesday night talking to three fools about plastic toy war dollies.
Well, I started off with my tabletop journey with Dungeons and Dragons, as most people do. I got into it around middle school, playing at the lunch table with my friends. That was a lot of fun. And eventually things escalated. I got into miniatures. I picked up my first D&D models and I fell in love with miniature painting. And I continued doing that throughout high school. And as soon as I graduated high school, I came into a large sum of money by a graduation money. And I decided, hey, I've been eyeing Warhammer for a while. I know it's expensive. I have all this money now. Why don't I give it a try? So I got into 40K around halfway through 9th edition. So fairly new to the Warhammer universe, relative to a lot of people, but I started playing 40K. I picked up Death Guard. I really liked their models. I loved all the fine little details. And I think that just really accelerated my love for painting miniatures. I think primarily I am a miniature artist, but who just happens to play Kill Team competitively. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you're a fantastic painter. Those who don't, let's talk about your resume a little bit.
Absolute terror on the table. Also,
terror on the tabletop, as well as you won best overall at Tacoma Open in 2025, right? Mm-hmm. With your clowns, which got you to go to the World Championships. And then I believe you've won a couple tournaments, haven't you?
I have. I can think of three off the top of my head, but there's probably some more. Most recently, I started getting into Kill Team competitively with Void Dancers. I can go get some of my models if you want me to show them off.
Let's actually, if you've got pictures, I'll put them up. Perfect. As you talk about them, I could put up pictures. We'll
write it down on the notepad.
You got some Zach pictures? Yeah.
I do have Zach pictures. Not only do I have Zach pictures, I have Zach pictures for Worlds.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And they have my full display board. Pictures. Let me open those in my photos. We can edit this, right?
Just send them to me afterwards. Unfortunately, I can't put them up during it because Tyler hasn't got us up to actually like streaming yet. So
we don't have the technology for that yet. But
we're not
someday.
That cool yet. But I will make sure we'll to insert them in the video. So if you're listening to this on audio, one, thank you for listening. But two, go watch the YouTube video because I've actually been inserting a few things here and there. And just mostly feet picks for Connor. So
nice.
Yeah. So Connor's like of our all of our views, Connor's like 100 of them. So
100%.
per episode.
He just watches back through over and over and over again, looking for that beat.
Absolutely.
How those right race treating you, Connor?
Yeah. Tyler, how many tournaments have you won?
I don't know, like 3-4 around there. Okay. I don't know. I think so. Yeah.
Connor, how many tournaments have you won?
One and a half.
Oh well, yeah, you're counting the one.
What's the one half one is with Brandon because it was mostly getting carried by Brandon.
He carried your ass, and that's one where he lost his token too, isn't it?
Okay, all right. You know, my bad. I've apologized a million times, one now. Sorry, Brandon.
Yeah.
And then I think at one point I went 3-0 at one of Bean's tournaments.
Yeah. Olivia, you won a few painting things too, didn't you? Besides Best Overall, you've won a couple different painting competitions too, right? Through tournaments.
Every time I go to a tournament, one of my teams gets said, "Hey, this is one of the best teams we have. We need to put it in showcase." I play sixth in hobby at Worlds.
Cool.
And that's I'm really proud of that. But to me, the hobby is so much more than just painting. The shining example of that is on my Void Dancers, actually. I actually developed a whole game to be played on my display board with my Void Dancer models.
I've heard of the game. I've never actually had a chance to play it. Can you explain it just a little bit? It's almost like a checkerboard, right? Like a 3x3 square.
It's a 6x6 checkerboard on the back of my dice tray. That I have made out of wood. And each player gets 3 clowns, one special character per player, and players alternate setting up barricades, and they move like chess pieces along the chessboard and take shooting attacks and fighting attacks against the opposing clowns until one clown stands.
Does it use just a standard standard profiles of the clowns?
No, the dice system is completely unique. One of the things that really appealed to me with Void Dancers is the way that they rely on the actual values of the dice that are rolled, whether that be through domino field, using your defense saves of 4 to block all successfuls hits of 4. I think that's really cool. Kegarak's Jest, where you roll under your opponent's hit stat to Jass, essentially, is really cool. I was really inspired by those mechanics. So there is some element of numerical value rolled on the dice and how that plays in to the way dice interact with each other.
Okay. Cool. Well, we'll have to, next time we're at a tournament, you'll have to run me through the game too. So
I would be happy to.
Yeah. We brought you here to talk about what is maybe going to be banned at tournaments, actually. So you had a very passionate post in the Ask Vox Cascadia channel on the Kill Team Cascadia Discord, which is what inspired us. Max is the one who's like, you need to get Olivia on there. Mm-hmm. So we could talk about Murderwing, how broken they are and why they're busted. And we'll check in on a couple different communities and see what they're doing about it. But Olivia, talk to us a little bit about Murderwing. So Connor and I mean, you're gonna break our hearts because Connor and I both have kit bashed full teams for them, why are they the devil, and why do they need to be thrown in the dumpster, at least until they get a balanced day?
I want to preface this by saying I think the models are awesome. I think they're really cool. Conceptually, I think Raptors are really cool. I just love flying models, and it's really strong. If you can't tell already, Void Dancers all used to fly, and they were very strong. They still kind of do fly, and they still are pretty strong. But Murderwing take it to the next level.
To be fair, Murderwing doesn't fly; they just boost. So it's different. It's fair.
Trixie can boost. Boost equals speed.
Yeah. If you can have an 11-inch threat range in one singular direction, that's basically fly. They can reposition, add 3 to that reposition, then dash, and then shoot you within 2, or spin within 2, or do any of their silly mechanics.
They do that extra three reposition, they can't do anything out that turn, right?
Oh, yes, that is correct. But yeah, there are ways to
totally
get
balanced
that.
And fine. They're fine. This is just So
not even getting into what exactly they can do yet. With the way the new initiative system works, you can kind of guarantee first turn if you stack your cards right, or if you get lucky with initiative rolls. It is dice dependent, but when it happens, it's going to be completely devastating. And on top of that, they can do the thing where they just go last every time, which as a Marine team is insane to me.
It's so good. It's the best ability any Marine team's ever had.
It's the best ability in the game. I am struggling to think of an ability that is better than it.
I mean, like, Imperial agents can say no, right?
Like, sure.
That's the only one. But like, then you can't do it again. They're just going to do it to you the other turns.
But the fundamental weakness of Marine teams is they get out activated. After they do their things, you have time to interact with them. This just turns that off. And not only does it turn it off, it denies so much board interaction. They can stage someone on vantage where you can't reach them, but projecting the threat all the way onto the midboard, or even if you go and try and stand on the middle objective to take crit off, they just say, no, I go last. And not only do I go last, I just kill you for even thinking of standing there.
So you're talking about malicious narcissism. So yes. For those who don't know, malicious narcissism, firefight ploy, uses firefight ploy when it's your turn to activate with a friendly operative if only one friendly murder wing operative is ready. Tell it in the turning point, whenever ready enemy operatives in the kill zone, you can skip your activations. In other words, you can delay that friendly murder wing operative's activation. Note, you can't counteract until that murder wing operative is expended. So it does allow you to essentially, like I did this, I've played one game with murder wing so far. And in that one game, it was, I activated my five nerds. And then my champion, basically I spent a CP on malicious narcissism and they sat back and waited until my opponent had activated everything, jumped up on a vantage and hit somebody with a plasma pistol. So it is, especially because one of the things with Marine teams is that since you get out activated, you kind of have to do your stuff and then watch and maybe get some counteracts or whatever. But this allows you to like just hold that one operative. It is pretty wild. I feel like this is going to get nerfed and it's going to be like once per game or something.
I think even if it's once per game, it's still going to dominate. If you use it right, if you time it right, you can completely destroy the way the turning points play out. As I said earlier, you can move your Depredator down. Just move dash that 11-inch threat range. Nine 12-inch move dash. And then you can't shoot or fight during that turn, but if you do it last and you have the initiative card stacked right, you just go first.
Yeah.
Oops. Mm-hmm. Now I spin twice and I still have an APL left.
Yeah. And while that play is super good because you have so much movement, and then you can even if you lose the initiative for some reason, you're still like in their backfield at that point, and it's kind of scary. So and
they
you can do
dominate
it without,
on route.
If you're wanting to run up there and if you wanted to stage like that normally, you'd be taking a lot of threat because you'd have to put yourself up there, and then they'd have a bunch of activations. But without that threat, it's pretty tough.
There's just no way to interact with it. They can stage their operatives in such a way where they can project that 12-inch move dash, and no one can stop them. There's no way to sit there and like they just sit on top of vantage, on top of the stronghold. They can put like three or four guys up there and not be worried about you getting a blast off. Because how are you going to get a blast on them? They're in heavy cover. And then just missile them all the way downfield and there's no risk to it. You're taking all of this agency over the game and you're not risking anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's incredibly valid. I think anytime you get teams or operatives that take away a lot of the interactability of the game, it's a negative play experience, right? Like occasionally it's okay for that stuff to happen, right? But when it starts happening too much and it completely hampers the game from being played by your opponent, then it becomes really not fun, you know? And like, that's what we're all here for, right? Fun.
For sure. It's fun for one player. Yeah, it's fun for absolutely. The person who can fly over all the buildings and just shoot you to death or melee you to death or spin, because they're Marines. They can do all of them and they can do all of them well.
Now they can get up in your face. They don't have many long range threats unless you take the plasma. But so you've had two games so far into Murder Wing.
Yes.
Were those both on open boards?
Both were on Vulcus, specifically Vulcus 3, with the Stronghold B on one side and the third story vantage directly against the deployment zone. And then the other one, Stronghold A, is there. And there's a large rune here, a large rune here. There's kind of a big choke point in the middle. If you've played on the map, you probably know it. The issue is just open boards. They can be anywhere they want. It's really frustrating.
They should only be played on Tomb World currently, if you're allowing them, is your position. If we allow them, should they be not allowed in Tomb World?
I think the allowing Murder Wing to be played is a very contentious discussion that is happening right now. Mm-hmm. There are very good arguments for both sides.
What's the pro argument? Why should we allow them to be played?
The team is so very oppressive. The play style that they present is uninteractive. It's unfun. It's completely one-sided. There is very little counterplay to the strategies that they put forward. I cooked up a strategy. They can totally play a very cagey game. They can sit back, retrieve, get last activation, control the board through activation order and initiative, and have complete domination on the points advantage and just run out the clock without playing the game as you would want to play the game. Or they can unga bunga. They can just send all their operatives downfield, and there's no way to stop that. There is some counterplay to the KG play style. But if they just put six Murder Wing operatives on Vantage and say, I can charge this much of the board and I also go last, there's really nothing you can do to play around that.
So that sounds like a pro why they shouldn't be in the game argument right now, or why they shouldn't be played in tournaments with their current state. What about, like, is there an argument for why they should be able to be played right now?
I think banning teams sets a very risky precedent. I think if we say we're going to ban Murder Wing, why didn't we ban Release Cults? Why didn't we ban Sanctifiers on release? Why didn't we ban Canoptic? Why didn't we ban Wolf Scouts? All these other teams that released in completely broken states. Why are we starting now?
Yeah. Do you feel like you play a lot of Kill Team more than the three of us? Do you feel like they are more broken than those other teams you mentioned, like Chaos Cults and like Wolf Scouts and Canoptic?
I think at least within the season that we've seen, specifically Tomb World season, Canoptic, Wolf Scouts, and now Murder Wing, all of them share this one element where they can interact with the board and deny interaction with them. Canoptic does it through their node matrix, where they can tap points, they can heal through the matrix, they can pass a PL through the matrix. So they don't really have to put people forward. They just play this super defensive game where they come back and threaten you to come to them. And if you do, they blast you off their board, blast you off the board with a transdimensional isolator. And now you are stuck in Necron hell, in Trazen's time vault, or wherever it sends you. And Wolf Scouts do something very similar with the Storm. They can completely circumvent the need to go on engage. When you just charge from conceal all the time, it's very difficult. When you charge from conceal and you have all these profiles and you make your opponent's profiles worse and you have all the tricks, It's just this uninteractive play experience. And I think Murderwing is the final evolution of that, that we're we've seen up until now. Hopefully it doesn't get worse. Knock on wood.
Now, taken in a bubble, just this season's teams, okay? Do you think that there is a mass disparity between just these teams, given, say, their peak power when they released, okay? So we're talking, you know, peak Sanctifiers, peak Canoptic, you know, all of that stuff on there. Or not even, the Sanctifiers are last season, you know? Do you think that that Murderwing is like so outstanding that we would need to ban them if it was just those teams?
Murderwing is in a tier of its own. They are S plus 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 plus. I think the playstyle that they create is just so oppressive and so uninteractive, and that's at the very surface level of it. That's just how do you abuse boost? You're not even getting into all of the abilities that they have scattered throughout the team that can just completely wreck your day. 3-inch AoE stun. Insane. The Shrieker can just stun guaranteed. You don't even have to roll for it. Sure, you roll D3 for damage, but they're still stunned. Being able to lock out your opponent's APL economy like so effectively makes it so hard to play into them as well. It's just Peak saying, hey, look at all these cool things I can do. You don't get to play the game anymore.
That's valid. So you're saying that they are worse than Peak Pathfinders ever were, or Peak Custodes is your estimation? Or because I know you weren't playing around then, but you've heard about those days.
I've heard stories. I wasn't too invested competitively during second edition. I will admit that. But I have heard many stories about the problem teams that existed. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. Do you think Murderwing is nearly as bad as these teams that have been notoriously busted in the past?
So I got to play this weekend for the first time in a while, and I didn't play Murderwing. I played the new Sisters team with Gorm.
Hell yeah.
Okay. As I was playing the team, it was really even games. I played against Tristan. I won the first one. I was playing Goremongers. He was playing Sisters. And then we tied on the second one. Okay.
Beautiful conversions, by the way.
Absolutely. Incredible. They look even better in person.
I can't wait.
You know, so like it was corn on corn madness. But like even playing into that team as Goremongers, which are a pretty strong team. Pretty recent, okay? A lot of the abilities were like, oh, this is Hand of the Archon, but way better, right? That was kind of the feeling. Playing into Sisters, I felt the creep of the power in this alone, okay?
Felt like a creep is what you meant.
I mean, yeah, that's just like me daily, you know?
That's right.
I was about to say, do you also feel like a weirdo?
Yeah, absolutely. What the hell am I doing here? Yeah. Anyways, It was just, I could feel the creep. I was like, this is pretty difficult to play into. One mistake and I'm going to get wiped so thoroughly. And, you know, like Sister, and he wasn't playing them optimally. We've all seen the layouts, the diagrams on how you have to properly position them. It's hard, you know, like someone can throw a wrench into your plan real quick with that.
It's a very delicate game.
Yeah, looking at Murderwing, I don't see how you stop them. Like, really. I don't want to ban them, personally, because I don't like banning teams. Like you said, I think it puts a really bad precedent. I think a lot of people are going to not play them perfectly. You know, I think that there are people who are going to come out and they're going to smash people. And we got to be aware of those. If you're hosting a tournament with the people that are coming out and they're absolute destroyers, you know, if Brandon Bean's coming to your tournament with Murderwing, he won. Just give him the golden ticket. You know, just like give him the prize money. Move on. Maybe have him play with a couple other people playing Murderwing right now. you know, that that stand a chance.
Like a Murderwing pod.
Like, yeah, it's like,
bring,
oh,
you, Murderwing, you just have to play against
the Murderwing. Absolutely. Yeah, sorry, you're in there. We'll take the one winner, and then you get a negative 10 points. Like, I don't,
it's like I
don't,
get the cheaters lobbies in video games where they exactly. They find out you're a cheater and they batch you up with other cheaters. You got to play other Murderwing.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's actually like the best solution right now. Murderwing pod. If you want to play Murderwing, you have to play against other Murderwing players. So
the only team they consistently lose to is the Mirror Match.
Yeah.
If that says anything.
I mean, that makes sense, right? Like when there's a team this broken, like they're crazy. They're legitimately crazy, like looking at the rules. And like you can look at it and you can be like, oh, that's stupid. And it's like when you if you're not aware of their rules when you play into them, I'm sure it's even like, oh, it can do that. Oh, and then you do that. Oh, cool. That's cool. Oh, so it's like my Marine operative only way better. You know, it's like, can you imagine playing Nemesis Claw into them? How bad that feels.
They just eat everything.
Yeah,
I think
you're like, oh, you're us, but cooler. It's cooler, Daniel. You know,
cooler Daniel.
I mean,
Connor, what do you think?
Personally, I see the strength. I haven't played against them, so obviously it's a matter of needing to get real experience with them. I'm curious to see how much of this like really crazy tech they have is accessible to the average player. Cause like, obviously, you know, like you said, we've got Brandon Bean and Olivia. She's a solid player. And we got a lot of great players here, but I'm curious, like, you know, someone like me who like, I'm all right at the game, but I don't play it a ton type of deal. Would I feel like, wow, this is bullshit picking up? Like there's definitely some, the malicious thing to go last. Definitely, definitely solid. And then my other thing is like, I'm curious to see how they do combating other Marines in the sense of, sure, they're really dangerous, but they still take damage almost as good as any other team. Like, they have less damage mitigation than all the other Marine teams put together. So I'm curious if it's a level of trying to somehow just bang your head against them too and kill them all. But obviously, if they don't need to interact with the game, then that's just not going to happen. And I'm tired of teams that don't need to interact with the game until turn three. Stop doing it. Bring back scoring turn one. I don't know what you got to do, but 100%. It's getting lame and boring.
I agree. Like, one thing about my game with Tristan is, like, I'm like, okay, I know I can't push forward. So, like, Gormonger is their fast team. Normally, you'd think they'd want to be across the board. I'm going to want to be, but I was holding back. I'm, like, barely moving. Oh, I'll pass. I'll move a guy up 3 inches, and I'll just wait. Just waiting. And like, I feel like this edition has like, and especially the new TAC Ops and everything have perpetuated that kind of play style, right? And then you have a team that can completely capitalize on that in the most effective way right now. And together, it makes it so oppressive. Would Murderwing be as oppressive with last season's TAC Ops and last season's initiative? You know, if we were back to, you know, actually doing scouting, would they be better? Would they be worse?
Rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scouting, my beloved. Bring it back, the rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, bring back scouting and bring back shapes. So,
I think scouting was so much fun. It increases the fun factor of the game in return for this card system that kind of just algorithmizes everything.
I think like maybe you could combine them. You can do scouting, and then the person who loses the first round gets the reroll. Okay? You know, just like one time, you get like a benefit, or you get a +1 on your roll. You get one card for losing the first time. And past that, it's just a straight reroll, or just straight roll, you know?
I'm sure come next Approved Ops, we will see some new funky initiative system come out from Games Workshop. No idea what it'll be, but
it's actually going to be an initiative deck. It's going to be 52 cards, and you're gonna play a poker hand before.
Play Texas, no limit Texas Hold'em to decide who goes first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, I'm down with that now. I understand poker hands.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing: they're going to constantly release, you know, it's going to be like Magic cards. They're constantly going to release new packs of cards for your hand.
we just go full Underworlds with it.
Yeah, they're going full Underworlds, but that's only for the initiative phase. Okay,
I love that idea. That's genius.
Games take 4 hours now, but you're also playing a card game in the middle of it. You know, like
I mean, they haven't announced another box. Maybe that's what they're waiting to drop on us. Uh-huh. They're just like, you know,
if this happens. I'm suing Games Workshop
for copyright infringement, like
stealing my idea. Yeah, absolutely. Unless they have documentation to prove that they did it first, which the lawsuit would show. Hmm. So,
personally, I'm always of the perspective that I never think a team is too broken. I'm not smart enough to realize they're too broken, probably is what it is. Like I've never really been afraid of teams. I've just been annoyed by teams. Like,
Hand of the Archon.
Fuck Hand of the Archon. Fuck their Torment Grenade. Like, clowns and mandrakes. Sorry, Olivia.
Yeah. Skin all over
babies. Olivia.
What the hell, man?
Your babies. Yeah. So, and then Warp Coven. Fuck Warp Coven too. But,
yeah.
But no, I'm not smart enough to. Mm-hmm. I think I need somebody to just like dumpster me with them, and then I'll be like, oh, okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, this
like,
is horseshit. Ban them.
Yeah. So yeah, I've also like I've spent way too much money on making a Murderwing team, and they're some of my beautiful babies right now, so they can do no wrong. So
they look great.
And that's the problem I have with banning a team altogether. Yeah. It's like people love their models. People want to play with their models. I want people to play with the Raptors because I want to say those guys are scary, but I can beat them. But that's just not how it plays out right now.
Maybe you don't get prizes at tournaments if you take Murderwing right now. Like
you win a golden ticket with Murderwing, it's just denied.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, you can get the golden ticket if you happen to.
But you don't get like the fun boxes.
You don't get the fun boxes. You don't get any of like the everyone goes. Okay, yeah,
Golf like, clap for them, like, golf congrats, clap for them. You did it.
So-and-so won with Murderwing. Give them the shit. Get their golden ticket. You know, thumbs up, good job. And then you go, all right, anyway, second place, we have, Battle Clade. You know? Here's the big
never going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
Right, you know, but like,
maybe a tournament of second place people.
Yeah,
I'm turning into a Battle Clade believer.
All the prizes.
Battle Clade believer. Like, I am.
Preach,
sister.
I'm actually working on conversions right now. Where is this model?
I did like
this.
The
is going to be. This is my Technarch. They are Tau themed. Battle Clade. With all the apostrophes mixed in there.
It's so bad. I love it. Well done.
Yeah.
I like that people will make amazing conversions of Battle Clade. I'll just hate on the thematic original release of what they did with them. If people enjoy the team, that's fine. I'm just like, give me a real Admech teams, please.
I've mentioned it before, but I've never seen the light leave somebody's eyes so quickly as Connor sitting at Adepticon last year with me as he's like, oh, we've got Admech. They're coming. And just like thousand yard stare that the
Vietnam or World War II poster of the Marine
just like I need to put that video. I've got the video somewhere of Connor just like, oh god, what's happening?
It was worse too, because it was literally that day someone was like, it'll be a servitor team, and I'm like, Admech aren't just servitors. I'm tired of this stupid concept that Admech are just servitors and nothing else. There's so much cool shit you can do with them. It won't be just servitors. I say that, and like servitors. 6 hours later, servitor. I'm staring at fucking 8 servitors that don't even look that cool.
Well, it's not all servitors, Connor. There's the Underseer and the Technarch, so you got that going for you.
Yeah. You're right. We got one cool model after waiting for 5 years. It's so great. I'm so glad. There's not a
well. Now you got your Heresy.
Yo, Heresy's a great time, but I can't play those in Kill Team until they drop the one Tech Priest I'm waiting for, so then I can build Canoptic after they've finally been moved to a less broken oppressive state.
Yeah. That would be cool.
I'm waiting on it. I'm like, come on, GW, you showed it like 6 months ago. Where are my models?
Have you played Canoptic yet? Have you played Aslan yet? Because I feel like that would be a team that you would not enjoy to play.
Probably not. But if I need to win a golden ticket, I can play them. You know,
can you? I don't know.
You don't play the game till turn 3, and then you just play the game, and
you hate that.
Yeah, I do. It's terrible.
Biggest beef.
Just play Murder Wing at that point. Yeah. You know, like if you're gonna do it, just go all the way.
Yeah, like, do it, Connor.
Yeah. Well,
So a couple, let's get back to the bands real quick. So I have a quote from the Polish community that Sean actually threw up in the Discord. So
you can speak Polish. This is,
yes. What was the Dupa? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, William. So as a member of the Polish Kill Team Council, I can offer some clarifications. Smiley face. In Poland, we use a league system. By playing competitive league tournaments, players earn points based on their performance. Local tournaments grant fewer points, while Masters tournaments grant more. They also have higher requirements, more players, more rounds. So this decision essentially means in our three closest major tournaments, Murder Wing will not be allowed. The Polish KT Council is a very recent initiative established about a month ago. This is our first decision. Its members are highly experienced players. All of them are tournament organizers. Several have competed at world championships with strong results. This decision was made with significant support from our local communities. We also conducted playtests on TTS shortly after the rules were publicly released. Additionally, one of our council members discussed this team in detail on Turning Point Tactics YouTube channel. So I'd recommend checking out his analysis and perspective as well. So Poland says no.
I'm hearing rumors that a couple of people are saying that they found basically no win situations against Murder Wing. That
hi, Sierra.
There is no chance for you to win against them if played correctly on certain maps and stuff like that. So, yeah. And it's not hard to execute.
So. Yeah. So, Olivia, you have a tournament coming up this weekend. You're hosting this one, right?
I do. Love and Warhammer, Sunday, yeah. February 15th. If you're in the Bremerton, Washington area, come by. We'd love to see you there.
Will you be banning Murder Wing?
Ooh, Chuck, that is a question I have been thinking about for a while.
We got 4 days to figure it out. So
I know that's something that I have to consider as a tournament organizer.
Who's the sweatiest player coming to your tournament so far?
Brandon Bean.
Okay.
He's currently playing locked stealth in suits. With stealth suits, though. He, mm-hmm. he made some cool scout suits. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty sick.
So, that, you know, I mean, like, he's going to be an issue, but, like, not in the same way, you know, Murder Wing is, so. I don't know. If he's not playing Murder Wing.
Issue for multiple reasons.
Yeah, I mean, like, number, you
the
know.
Alcoholism, the... Yeah,
so woman eye is saying,
snores like gambling.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Brandon.
Good luck.
You know, poor Brandon. We talk about Jeremy and how great and sexy he is for like three episodes, and Brandon comes up. We're like, yeah, that guy's the worst.
We just dunk on Brandon.
So speaking of Jeremy, that guy's hot as hell.
Absolutely. You know, have you guys seen Jeremy? He's like 8 feet tall, like blonde.
I heard he like saved 18 puppies mm-hmm. from a farm the other day that was on fire.
And he worked on your like favorite independent animated film, made the motion picture. You know, like whatever
that's actually
it is.
Real.
Yeah,
like,
that part is true.
All of this is real, though. Yeah. Like, you know,
this is your
slight exaggerations.
Your Jeremy Lovefest. So. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, by the way, do you have any tickets left for that, or is it sold out now?
We should. Last I checked, there was about 8 spots left. I can check on the BCP right now.
There are 8 right now. There's a couple of people on the roster that are dropped that I think makes it closer to like 10 tickets available still. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. I just haven't bought my ticket yet because I suck.
It will be a lot of fun. And there's a lot of people who said they will be there who have not bought their ticket yet. So I anticipate those numbers to dwindle fast. We're playing 4 rounds of Kill Team. Okay. There's a chance to win a night.
Ooh.
Yeah, a whole night.
With Connor?
I don't think so.
Connor's Love mom and Warhammer.
No.
I thought it was Connor's mom.
No.
Connor, what are you bringing then?
I'm either... We'll see if I can get my Star Striders painted up in time. If not, then probably just good old Nemclaw, because I just can... Yeah. I know them, and I know what I'm doing with them.
Well, currently nobody is... So the people who have registered so far... nobody has put in that they are taking Murder Wing quite yet. So
I'm suspecting Zarin might, because he's already got a team kit bashed up for them and they look great. Grant might, but I don't think they're like going to be trying to hard shit on people in the boring way of playing type thing. Zarin likes to play Murder Wing and charge for it, and for that he gets my gold star of approval.
Did Zarin, do you know, did he's a Blood Angels dude too? Did he
his are Chaos. He's I think he said gotcha. He may make up another one, but for the most part they're just actual Raptors for his Chaos army.
All right. So it sounds like though, Olivia, we're not gonna be banning Murderwing this weekend.
I think I'm gonna allow it. I feel bad banning teams. I want people to play with their cool models. It's a low stakes event.
There's $20. A knight on the line. What are you talking about?
Okay.
What type of knight? Out of curiosity.
You're supposed to take him out on a date.
No, I mean, because there's like four different types of plastic knights, guys. There's the armatures.
Stand away.
It's a rat system.
I think it's the...
The normal, just like kind of 40K Dominus.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called. I don't play 40K.
That's fair.
Knight. Yeah, absolutely.
No, not.
I just know big knight. It's not...
Rampage.
Questoris.
It's the one where it's like smooth down like this. This is kind of the shape of it. It doesn't go like.
Okay, it's a knight Questoris. Then it's not.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, there we go. I googled 40K knights, and thankfully there was a list.
Like the really tall one?
No, just the normal original knight. The really tall the one knight is Sarastis.
You're right. Those are really cool.
Yeah, those are cool, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know the Lancer, and that's about it because the Lancer is awesome.
Yeah, that's on my list of things I want to build and paint.
Speaking of that, Connor, you want to buy my box of knights? Still, I've still got them. I still got my box of knights here.
I want to, Chuck, but you're trying to sabotage my hobby score golf.
I'm not trying to.
Are they loyal?
They could. Yes, they're the loyalist ones. They're not the chaos ones. It's the Battle Force box that came out a couple years ago.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's a really good box.
A good box.
A really good box.
It is a good box, but that's not five models probably for our hobby golf. That's probably closer to like 25, and that's a big hit.
I think it's like six models, dude. Hold on.
There's no way we're counting a single knight as one model, Chuck.
That's how it counts. It's one model. It's one model. Yeah, that's a really good box.
Ooh, that's five. We'll call it six with the knight.
The guy.
I do like the little armatures. They're fun.
Armatures are great. They're a fun kit.
The war dogs are cooler, and like the Forge World ones. Even like the Moraxes,
dude. Cooler. Please, they keep teasing Moraxes in plastic, and I want them so bad.
I have a Morax sitting on my shelf. I need to put together.
Okay, so fun. You have a Knight Questoris as the prize.
Nice,
it's not sweaty. You're going to allow Murderwing at least at this point. Mm-hmm. What though? If the prize was a night with Connor, Tyler, how would you spend a night with Connor? If you could, and maybe we just you sweeten the pot and you just throw that in there. Connor, right now, will you commit to an evening with Connor for the winner as well too?
Dinner and the Diet Dr. Pepper.
I mean,
you're paying.
Oh. Well, that went from a less great deal for me all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Dinners are expensive nowadays, man.
Absolutely.
All right. Whoever wins can offer to pay for Connor. But, like, Tyler, if you're going to, like, wine and dine.
Is Indy dying, Chuck?
Jenna's best. He just showed up. So they're freaking the fuck out.
Indy suddenly started losing his mind. I was like, what's wrong with my boy? Love you, Indy.
Where am I taking Connor out to dinner? You know, I'm going to take him to an Italian restaurant.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
You know, I know I'm going to carb load him.
Oh. And
then I'm going to take him to the pharmacy to get him some insulin.
Thank you.
And then send him off to bed because he'll be wiped out after.
Yeah, I would be very tired after that. But you know, I carb load anytime I run a 5K, of course.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler, that just shows you're anticipating his needs, which is very much appreciated.
Uh-huh. You know, if that says something about me, I hope so.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it not only a night to remember. I'm going to make it like a month to remember. Here's what we're going to do.
Oh boy.
We're going to stop at Taco Bell.
Yes.
Okay? Grab a little, and then we're going to run for the border. We're going to Canada. Okay.
So I can buy cheap insulin.
We're going to go buy cheap insulin. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. And maybe some poutine.
I've never actually had poutine.
I've had vegan poutine. I've never had like real poutine. So maybe I just had vegan poutine. There's a place, Hopworks around here used to have it. So
one of my favorite breakfasts is not poutine, but there's a potato restaurant in Tacoma, and you can kind of load up these perfectly cooked potatoes with like all the poutine toppings. It's delicious.
Nice. Isn't it just great gravy or white gravy and curds?
Cheese curds? Brown gravy, I think,
brown
isn't
gravy
it?
And cheese curds? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's poutine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes they throw guacamole in there.
It's potato, gravy, and cheese. What do you want?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It doesn't get much better than that.
Fucking delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Tyler, we also have a tournament coming up this weekend. We have a doubles tournament coming up. We need to talk about these scheduling conflicts, Olivia. We're taking from each other's pool. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. No, it's fine. Tyler, we're not worrying about banning Murderwing or anything.
No,
are we?
No, we're not banning Murderwing. You know, okay. It's about love, baby. You know, let people's love show out. And they can't play the same team, you know, more than two times. So,
yes,
you know, like out of the three rounds, they can only play Murderwing twice. So,
yeah. But yeah, any final thoughts on the scourge that is Murderwing? I still, by the way, if you're listening to this and you are a Murderwing expert, please come on the podcast to teach me how to ruin people's day with Murderwing, because I'm fully committed to Murderwing. There is a tournament. I talked to another West Coast tournament organizer that is debating on banning him for their tournament, or just doing like 2/3 of the board as close combat stuff, close quartered battle. Mm-hmm. So. Hmm.
Yeah, new split boards for competitive, you know?
Ooh, like, yeah.
I'm excited to see how those play. Those seem like a lot of fun.
Absolutely. More variety is always good in the boards, unless it's Beta Decima.
What about split board half Beta Decima, half Tomb World?
I mean, that'd be kind of wild, you know? Like,
what would be the worst two boards to combine, Tyler? Beta Decima and...
Morok.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. What about Nachmund? Right? Like,
which one was I get Nachmund and
Nachmund was the one that was all the industrial stuff. Morok was the one that was like the frontier's landing pad and the fences that were like
I think that like maybe like all the smoke vents, like the weird, you know,
rules they introduced with that were only played on those
that no one played.
No one used it except for their campaign stuff.
Absolutely. Everyone was like, oh, that's a lot of rules for this stuff.
Differently than all the other smoke grenades in the game so far.
The library of terrain rules for Kill Team, like especially if we carry over last edition stuff, because it all works basically the same.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you can't read it and go, well, that works like this, you know, you're just being kind of a rules lawyer unnecessarily. It's pretty huge. Like there's a lot of terrain you can play with that has like unique rules. And if we're going to apply all the rules like we do to Volcus, because some people get really pedantic about that. They're like, actually, this part here you can do, you know, like I get it. That's how it's played. But we could do that with all of the terrain.
We got to start introducing all the, like, into the dark narrative terrain rules and shit, like the searchlights and the auto turret guns and the ammo. Well, ammo cache actually works. It's already built-in equipment. But
yeah, we're doing smoke screens from smoke towers, you know. It's going to get crazy. Like, let's get out there and get weird with it, people. So,
yeah. So, enough of the hate. Let's get into the love. It is, as we mentioned, it's going to be Valentine's Day this weekend. Tyler and I are running a doubles tournament at Board Bard
It'll be a good time.
On Valentine's Day, because Tyler forgot what day Valentine's Day was when I threw out dates.
You know,
why would you include it on the list? You can't blame Tyler solely for this.
Yeah, you included it on the
February,
list.
And you, I said the 14th or the 23rd.
Yeah, you know what 14th February 14th is, Chuck.
You know me well enough. I don't know calendars. You know,
oh, I know.
The existence of time to me is basically, it's not real. I have troubles with it. My flow and perception of it is not correct.
So instead of spending our days with our lovely partners, we're going to be spending it together. So
yeah, absolutely.
Your other lovely partners.
My lovely business partner. Mm-hmm. So, real quick, do y'all have a favorite Valentine's Day candy? I feel like Valentine's Day candy is a very contentious thing. So,
I mean, I like a really high quality chocolate. Maybe some toffee in it. You know,
toffee.
I like some toffee.
See, because I as a trash food connoisseur, I really like the candy sweethearts.
I was just about to say, they're so much fun.
Like the actual like little heart ones?
Yeah. Yeah, little like the box you buy for like.
That say like, will you be mine on them and stuff?
Like the yeah. they're like all chalky.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they're not that bad. I can go for a few of those.
They're giving me goosebumps. It's just sugar. Like, yeah. Autistically, yeah. I hate them.
I feel like a box. Wait, so much sugar that a box of those would just take Connor, out.
Right? Valentine's Day and Halloween are some of my favorite holidays, but it's also some of the worst times of years for me to like, because I come into the office the day after Valentine's Day and everyone has all this like free candy. I'm like, oh god damn it, and then I feel like dead by 11 a.m.
That's why we're going to Canada, get you that good insulin, buddy. Is that how it works? You have sugar and then you take insulin?
Yes, that is generally how it works. Yeah.
Is it like a one candy bar, one insulin?
No, not quite. No, the ratios are a little more complicated than that.
Thank God I'm not diabetic yet.
And luckily, like, Connor hasn't, like, had, you know, gone into, like, a diabetic coma, because Tyler would just be like, he had one candy bar, give him an insulin.
Yeah, absolutely. One to one. That's the
He's out here taking...
Just give him the full vial. It can't be that bad.
All right, so Olivia's with me on the sweethearts. I also like a Necco wafer too. I'm sure Tyler will hate those too.
What the hell's a Necco wafer?
Yeah, even a Necco wafer? They come in like the weird like wax paper.
I've never seen this in my entire life.
There's a fucking Necco wafer, dude. No.
What about just a classic chocolate covered cherry?
Chocolate covered fruit, can't go wrong with that. Chocolate covered strawberries.
Yeah.
Perfect.
If I wanted fruit, I'd eat fruit. I want chocolate, so I don't need to try and like make it feel like it's a little bit healthier. I don't want that chocolate. Actually, for somebody who doesn't eat meat, and I don't eat any fruit. I eat bananas. That's about it. Like,
okay,
I eat veggies and fake stuff and no fruit. I don't know.
Do you eat tomatoes?
I know tomatoes are fucking fruit.
Do you like pineapple truck or like water?
Vegetables don't exist.
I get pineapple for one particular
reason. Fruits don't exist.
I don't get it.
I mean, like, well, vegetables don't exist. Fruit do exist. Like, vegetables aren't a real thing.
According to the food pyramid, all I know is sugar and sweets is the most important thing because it's at the top.
But which food pyramid are you using? Are you using the new one?
Is there a new food pyramid?
Yeah, they just, like, flipped it upside down.
They flipped it over.
It's like 60% red meat. That's all you need in your diet.
And then when my younger siblings were like in school, they swapped it to like the plate when like Michelle Obama like tried to make kids be healthy, and then like we hated her for that.
She made kids fat, is whatever.
Sorry. Yeah.
Right, so you got the food single-handedly food. Michelle Obama who did that, by the way.
What's up?
New food pyramid, like Olivia mentioned, is just mostly red meat, and then it's like ivermectin, and then it's just like denying that COVID is real. I think that's the new food pyramid.
Is it? I didn't know there was a new food pyramid. This is crazy.
Yeah, but, how can you not keep up with all the news?
I'm sorry. I missed the food pyramid. I was watching the Olympics. Oh my God, you are not kidding. It's just like,
I'm not kidding.
I like that there's always like, for meat, they show a full fucking turkey. We eat turkey one time a year. Stop using it as an example of a meat. No one eats a full turkey outside of Thanksgiving and maybe Christmas.
You're not eating a turkey a week? Yeah, bro, like, I'm a vegetarian. I eat a turkey a week.
Mm-hmm. Tofurkey, you know, same thing.
Yeah,
tofurkey's
okay. No, actually, when I first went vegan, my sister was coming over we were at my dad's house for dinner, and she's like making like ground beef, and she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, if I'd known you're here, I would have got turkey instead." I'm like, "That's not how it works either." So, but
okay, yeah, my plate was in 2011. There we go.
Yeah,
so that was when Obama's
wearing a tan suit and. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, absolutely. You know, because like that's the stuff that matters to freak out about in government, not the stuff that's going on right now, because we're not quickly going to hell in a handbasket, right? Everything's gonna be okay, you guys. It's fine, right?
All right, let's get back to love.
Fun news. Need to get the Olympian on here. Chuck, make it happen.
Magic the Gathering Olympian.
Yeah, I know we're not like a magic podcast, but we can convince her to try out Kill Team, and that way get an Olympian on the podcast and be the first Kill Team podcast to do that.
Let's do it. Connor, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. You can get whoever the fuck you want on this show if you can get them on this show. Mm-hmm. So I know you just kind of show up and talk shit for an hour and then crawl back away.
I'll give you a budget to send them a kill team if you want, Connor.
To see if I can get okay, yeah,
absolutely. You know, like get them in.
I'm sure they don't have hundreds of DMs. I'll write absolutely. A formal email with like
for sure, because like
letterhead. You know,
it's slide into their DM like the slut you are. Come on.
Like we know Connor has a lot of experience with that. Like Connor's always sliding into people's DMs.
Very true.
I had a Finsta for a while and I friended him and he was like, "Yo, sup, baby? How you doing?"
Zero's not gonna be happy with me after this.
Those
podcast.
Are some nice models. Anyways, you wanna come over and I'll ignore you while I play some Halo. Yeah.
Mm. So. All right. Again, back to love.
That is love.
In the 4K universe.
Is there a more pure expression of love?
Sliding into someone's DMs?
No. No, Connor playing Halo.
Yeah, Connor playing Halo is because Connor knew that this fine young lass that was straddling him was not the one.
I didn't know that we were back
down the road.
We had an on and off again relationship. I didn't realize we were back on at the time. Okay,
Connor, I know you've put it in the you put it in the Patreon. Can you give me that picture and I can just post it on the?
No,
on the
I don't think I would have.
Oh, come on,
I will think about.
I'll put a smiley face on her face or something.
Olivia, so have you seen this photo? Although,
I don't think I've seen the photo, but I've heard the story numerous times.
Yeah, all right, give me a second. I'll DM it to you.
The photo, you just like the photo itself is the thing that like that really does it justice, because you can't like you think like okay, like you know Connor's like she's sitting next to him or something or like sidled up next to him. It's not even like close to that.
No.
Like the gorgeous man that Jeremy Spake is, you should have seen the look on his face when he saw this. He was like
he was
taken aback and appalled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Connor, you gotta look. Oh, well, the problem is like the look on her face is what
exactly. But it's like I can't just put that on the internet. You know,
you could DM her and ask.
I legitimately looked a while back after I first told you guys, and she deleted her Instagram, so I don't know how to get in contact with her anymore.
Does she did to this a Facebook? Woman?
Maybe I haven't checked Facebook. That's a good question.
Yeah, absolutely. We could send our social media manager Max.
Yeah, Max, we need you to like sleuth out and find this woman.
Get permission for yeah.
God, if we could we get her on the podcast?
All right. There you go, Olivia. Well, check your Discord DMs.
We'll just get her on for the after hour segment. She'll just show up like out of nowhere. Like Connor would just be like, "You're in headlights."
Yeah, just it. Connor, we gotta on the Vox Associated podcast. We have a special guest. What's her name?
Yeah. Connor, you are locked in. In that
I was locked
dialed.
Yeah. I won, and that's what mattered.
Yeah.
I proved to be the most dominant Halo player at that household during the day, and that's what matters the most. Absolutely. And it became at the cost of other things. Oh well.
Okay. So back to love. Tyler, you had a great idea. Mm-hmm. I give you credit for it. So let's talk about, we want to do operatives or do we want to do
like the team? Like where are they going to take you? You know, like what vibes are the team giving you? Maybe a single operative, maybe the whole team. Where are they taking you out on a date for Valentine's?
So what operative or what team would you want to take on a Valentine's
date? No. It's where are they taking you?
Were they taking you?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Who? Everyone's been like, "Oh, who would I want to date?" You know, like it's like the monster fucker conversation had all over the internet.
Wait, what's the monster fucker conversation?
I mean, like people just like they're all like, you know, it's like, "Hear me out," right? Like that's the way it's phrased, and then it's like some like very normie shit. It's like a buff minotaur, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's not even.
Speaking of, Adam, Patreon Adam Yogg, the Yogg in Discord, turned us on. He was talking about, we were talking about Dungeon Crawler Carl, my favorite, Connor. And Adam was talking about how him and his wife were in Jamaica, and she was sitting on like a,
they recreate like the Michael Scott and Jan photo.
No, should have. Well, I don't know that actually.
Yeah, we gotta ask
if you did though. Yeah, tan everywhere, Jan everywhere. But apparently his wife was like sitting on like a lounger and was reading a book, and one of the waiters or somebody came up behind her and was like looking at her book, and it turns out she was reading a book called Morning Glory. It's called the full title is like Morning Glory Milking Farm.
Yeah, that's what my girlfriend's listening to right now.
Is she really? I'm reading that to Jenna right now. Actually, imagine like me, like it, lights are out. Jenna and I are in bed. We're going to sleep, and it's just me with a Kindle reading her like about this.
Well, reading her erotica.
Reading her Minotaur erotica.
I know we're not supposed to judge a book by the cover, but
yeah, we're
kind of judging a book by the cover.
We're really getting into after show territory after show.
Mm-hmm. We'll touch more on the after show. Sign up for our Patreon.
Absolutely. Minotaur Morning Glory Minotaur milking.
I'll put the cover in here. So
yeah.
So okay, so Tyler, we got a little sidetracked as we sometimes do. I want you to lay out the rules for this, so we're clearly defined about this.
Basically,
by the way, I think I might have told Olivia the wrong thing because I didn't read the message correctly. I just said like people.
Well, it's because Connor came in there with his fucking. I would want to date Sierra. Well, if I was going to date someone in the 40, I would want to date my wife
first. In the 40K, I didn't say that first. Everyone else fucked it up in the chat before I did. I was the only one that noticed it, and then I just
no. You literally said my wife, but in the Warhammer, if she lived in the Warhammer,
absolutely. After everyone else had already messed up like, the messages.
But anyway, so the idea is like, where are, based on the personalities of the teams or the operatives, where are they taking you on a date? You know, sorry, like the, it's fine. It's fine that you.
Then you said she'd be a servitor. Like,
I know. I just said you statistically, she's likely to come out as a servitor. We're all likely to come out as a servitor. As we discussed in our private chats. You know, best case scenario, non-lotto, you're ending up in the McCrag 500 world. At least you're getting educated and you're not a slave, right? So, anyways.
Oh, no, bro. I'd be a space marine, okay? Absolutely. I'd probably be close to a prime.
Max and I'm just saying, Max and Chuck both misread and said characters from the Warhammer 40K universe. Yeah, you specified operatives. And I was like, well, they already fucked it up.
Well, then, you know, then you took it to the next level. My wife in the 40K universe.
Because I thought it would be cute.
It is, but also it's sickening. You know, like it's
how dare I love my wife.
I love you for it, and that's the kind of response my girlfriend wants me to give. You know, and like I'm sure your girlfriend loves you for it, but also she rolls her eyes when you say stuff like
100%.
She's mean to you, and you like that.
Yeah, 100%.
But anyway, so like so the skin thief, he's taking you to buy a nice leather purse for Valentine's Day, you know. Yucidia Vane, she's taking you out to the fanciest restaurant. She's getting a couple drinks. She's ordering you a couple drinks. Then she's running off to the bathroom and heading out on adventure without you, stiffing you with the bill.
Dine and dash, Donya.
Dine and dash. You know, so that's what I'm talking about. Where are they taking you? Where's the weird gimp guy from the Arbites? He's taking you to the fetish club. First date. And you're like, whoa, I didn't know we had one of these in our city, you know?
I mean, I'm going curse claw. I need somebody, one, overpowered, but two, also like to just take me where they want to take me. Like
they sweep you off your feet, Chuck.
Just toss me around and you know, don't melee me. Yeah. You got a bolt or two, bolt pistol for some reason too. Olivia, was there an operative?
I have a whole list. Actually, I did my homework.
Let's go, bring it.
All right. I did my homework. Should I just go through this?
Let's hear it.
Okay. First up, we have the Tank Buster Rocketeer from Wreck-A-Crew. Okay. They're going to take you to a nice romantic fireworks show under the stars.
Oh, yeah. Aww. Absolutely.
All right. Next.
Following that, we have the Insidient Abjurer, specifically the Abjurer, because she has candles on her back. Shout out my sisters, which I'm painting right now. Mm-hmm. She will take you to a romantic candlelit dinner and make you pay for it.
And then smack you with her shield.
Girl boss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'll actually eat off of the shield. On the shield. And
a hibachi chef or whatever. Or not. Wait, no, that's a different word. Fuck. What is that called? Where they cook the food in front of you.
It's hibachi.
Is that hibachi?
It's hibachi.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I so this one time when I was
living or Subway.
Shut up.
I was living in Wilsonville, okay, and I go to the Subway there, and I'm standing there getting my sub, and the guy there, he goes, "You know what Wilsonville really needs?" I was like, "What, man?" He goes, "A Benihana." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "You know, it would just," and I was like, "Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That would fit Wilsonville really well, you know? Like, yeah, nice call out. Out of nowhere. Right. What doesn't need a Benihana, right?"
That's fair. Olivia, next on the list.
We have the Sanctifier Confessor. I don't know exactly what the Sanctifier Confessor would take you out to do, but I do know for sure that he will ask you to go to church with him the next day.
I mean, are you sinned? You know, like,
yeah.
He will make you repent.
Absolutely.
He will make you repent, yeah. Or, is he going to, like, lead the procession, too? Is he just going to, like, you know, scream at you and tell you to go? Like, I mean, I feel like that's halfway through the date. They're like, is he just preaching to you? Is this one of those, like, you got kind of swindled on Tinder and they just, you know,
he doesn't talk about anything about himself. No questions asked.
Just talks about the God Emperor.
I see him as like a very self-absorbed Spanish man who's very religious, you know, like kind of a narcissist, very beautiful, you know? So That's my take on it. So, yeah, no, I love these. Keep going.
Next up, we have my pride and joy, my babies, the Void Dancers. Can anyone guess where they might take you?
Thinking to the circus. Play dominoes.
They're going to the circus. We're going to the circus. I think Chuck got it. To see the acrobats, have some popcorn, look at the clowns, the lions, all the whole circus.
Are we talking like Barnum Bailey, or are we talking because
oh yeah,
like okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean Cirque du Soleil I could be talked into. Mm-hmm. Like Barnum Bailey, like, you know.
Do they still even do Barnum Bailey? Didn't they close?
Hopefully not.
They closed. Mm-hmm. There were ethical concerns.
Yes. Yeah.
With a
traveling circus? No way.
I mean, no.
It's never happened. Fine. Circuses were totally ethical. Yeah, sideshows too, you know.
Yeah, Olivia.
I have three more. So we got. Let's bring up. Next up, we got Felgor, the whole team.
Okay.
They will ask you to meet them at the petting zoo.
Nice.
You do not know this, but they are the petting zoo. Yeah.
They're real. They're real.
Some heavy petting, if you know.
Absolutely.
All right, next.
In a similar vein, we have Goremongers. They will take you to a metal show. But they will drag you into the pit and basically assault you. They're intense.
Yeah, like they're taking to a Guar show first date, right? Mm-hmm.
They're taking.
Did you see the?
Can I say the name of the band?
The name of the band?
Guar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anal cunt.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't know if we were censoring ourselves.
No, not ever on this.
Oh, come on,
podcast.
That's when I say hard slurs, apparently, which I do all the time. Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah. Just off camera.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Tourette's.
That's the part.
It's all his like Xbox gamer days. Yeah. You know, like we all know Connor, hardcore gamer.
You know it.
Oh, did you guys walk in on that Halo grind?
Mm-hmm. I put it up in. I can't remember. Did you guys see the Guar cover of Pink Pony Club?
Yeah, it was really good.
Really. I watched
a couple minutes of that with Jenna, and she's like, "What the fuck is going on?" I'm like, "I really don't know, but this is what it's supposed to be." So,
Yeah. I mean, like,
last but not least. Oh, sorry.
I was gonna say Guar, like in a kind of that setting, is like weird. Guar Live is exceptional. You know, it's an experience unlike any other. If you like Guar's music, I'm concerned for you. you know, and I say that as a Guar fan. Okay, but everyone should go see Guar.
All right, last one, Olivia.
Last but not least, we have Señor del Caos. he will take you skydiving, but he will push you out of the plane without a parachute and catch you.
Oh,
kind of sums up the Murder Wing vibe.
It does.
Yeah. Connor, any operatives that you want to take you out on a date?
I mean, like, I feel like Crute would bring you to like a barbecue or maybe Rattlings too. I was trying to think like between the both of them, maybe like
the barbecue for Crute.
Yeah, though. But I'm like, what would like Rattlings would be maybe like a really good like sandwich shop. They just kind of got that vibe, you know, like a
like a. They're like a lunch date.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And then you go for like a walk in the park, and then they go missing halfway through.
Well, yeah, they're taking you out to for a nice sandwich, and then they're going to take you out to a store, but so they can steal.
Yeah,
like is why they're doing it. You're their cover.
Yeah.
So
well, they scarper away from the first date because they have another brunch.
Exactly. So they're forgetting about getting sandwiches.
Cold. Yeah.
Otherwise, I was going to say the classic Space Marine captain, especially Ultramarines, like a very, you know, by the book, dinner and a movie, drop you off 15 minutes before your curfew. If you offer a kiss, they will take one, but they would not proactivate the kiss, you know?
Yeah, the Codex Astartes does not allow
They got to be forward action. Yeah, like very, very respectful, you know, almost to the point of like, are you even into me level? Like, I can't tell right now type of deal.
No. Yeah, that's Connor.
I did that, yeah, in high school. A girl totally had a crush on me. I didn't realize it. We went on a date, and then she thought I wasn't into her because I didn't make a move on the date. Nailed it.
To be fair, I had that, and I was in my 40s. So,
I adopted the strategy of I like you. I think we should kiss for dating, and that always.
So I still actually ask Sierra for a kiss every night.
it hasn't failed yet. So.
Actually, Connor, how many times has she been like, no, I'm good?
Thankfully, zero. Like, unless she's like sick. Otherwise, I'd be having a serious conversation like, oh, shit, did I forget to take out the trash or something?
Yeah. So, well, Olivia, thank you for joining us and talking about the scourge that is Murderwing, even though you won't ban him from your own tournament. we just want to ban everywhere else. No, it's fun. It's a fun tournament. Anything you want to plug? We'll put it in the show notes. We'll put a link to your tournament, the Love and Warhammer.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Love and Warhammer, as Chuck said. Shout out my Instagram, at Shroomini. I'm less active on there now, but every time I finish a project, that's where you can see it, and it's full beauty.
It's good stuff.
And then Tyler, this is your turn. Okay. Can you run the gauntlet of plugs?
You can catch me at Lowbrow Minis on Instagram. You can check Chuck at Painting Cave Minis, Connor at Spanaway, or us at Vox Cascadia on Instagram. You can also check us out at Vox Cascadia Podcast on Patreon and Vox Cascadia on YouTube.
So. Cool. Connor, you are going to play this weekend, right?
Yes.
All right, bring Murderwing. Do it.
I don't. Okay.
All right. We love you. Good night.